Let's do the glory.
I have begun recording.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for Sunday, September 10th, 2017, with Scott Johnson and Brian Epp. Hey, you cut me off. Jeez, my clock's off. I didn't get the Dunaway in there. Brian Dunaway, everybody. Brian Dunaway.
Hey, you know what? You do this thing every day, sometimes two times a day with Brian Ibbett. So you are forgiven.
I hate that it happens, though, because it's annoying. I have too many Brians in my life, and you're two of them.
I know that it's like your mom calling you, you know, another kid's name. It doesn't really hurt your feelings.
No, I mean, not really. People still call me Steve all the time for no reason.
Right.
I don't know why Steve. I get called Steve. Steve, is it? No. Scott, like I said, five times. Oh, okay, Steve, get in here. It's like, come on.
Is that why you have Steve the duck?
No, I just thought the name was funny for a duck, but maybe right. Subconsciously, because I do, if I go to like a dentist, sometimes even they'll call me Steve for no good reason.
And you try to argue with
them. My brother-in-law, Steve, gets called Scott a lot, so I think there may be something there, like some kind of...
misfiring to the brain.
Yeah, like people just think you get Steve and Scott conflated all the time, right. And I'm here to say, stop it, damn it. We're.
I always get the brain in the writing. No one can ever write it Brian. It's always brain.
Brain. I was gonna ask about that because I see that sometimes in like public stuff. Like someone will typo brain, kind of like when they put te instead of the by accident. They've just switched their words around, but brain doesn't flag you and say, oh, underline with the red line, that's a misspelling of Brian. No, just says brain.
Nope.
Computers,
you're talking to the brain.
Yeah, computers aren't smart enough yet.
Beep, bop, boop.
Yes. Anyway, it's good to be here. It's good to have you here. We've been off for a while. You had Dragon Con stuff, and that really kept you busy there, and I was out of town the week before that.
Dragon Con!
Yeah, so I've missed this, getting together and chatting and yapping.
Me too, and apparently so has the audience. We've heard had several people go, is there a new Boop Show this week? How about this week?
Hey, lots of asking. And even had one this morning saying, is there going to be one today? And the answer is yes. It's happening right now. In fact, I'm recording it now. You can hear that I'm recording it, and you're here with me. So you can you know, co-sign that this is being done. So quit your complaining, you bunch of bastards. Anyway, hey, let's dive in. Real quick here, this happens. It's happened to you too. But sometimes Warcraft are like, you know, you'll get your fill of it and then you'll be go, all right, I'm good. I don't need to be playing WoW for a long time. And, you know, I don't ever unsub because I'm an idiot. But, you know, I'll sometimes go months and not even look at it or touch it or not be interested in playing it. And then suddenly it just comes back like a monster.
Like a big giant Lich King monster.
Yeah.
I think anytime the weather changes, I usually hanker for a hunk of WoW. So it's the weather has shifted to a more fall weather in the morning sometimes.
Yeah.
And so it kind of gets me in a different mindset. And I'm like, oh, it's time for a little World of Warcraft.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I wonder if this is about the time of year I always kind of dive back in. I really considered that. I figured it was just because, well, I mean, it's due in part to this big patch hitting that 7.3 came out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Here's the funny thing, though. There's all this new content to play. Some of it I've played through. I got a lot of story stuff done because I wanted to kind of see what was going on with this story. It goes in really cool places. It's actually really awesome. But what really drew me back was, oh, hey, did you hear in 7.3 all the mage animations have been, or the spell animations for all the spell casting characters have been updated?
Well, I got to see that.
And, you know, we're talking about a game that's pretty long in the tooth now and has been using the same spell animations for a very, very long time. So I thought, oh, I need to see how that looks. That sounds kind of cool. I got a panda mage. Let's see what he can do. And
2 days later, after all the updates.
Yeah. And now I'm all in. Now I can't stop. All I can think about right now is leveling that mage. I need to get him to 110 and get him to end game. And he's so much fun right now. And it's not that he was any less fun just prior to this patch. He's the same. He's got the same builds, the same abilities. All that stuff hasn't changed. But what drew me in were these animations, and now I don't care. I just am having fun. So anyway, I'm back into WoW again, and what the hell? I mean, that game,
back again.
That game always rearing its little head going, hey, you want to come over here and look at this? You know?
Yeah, yeah. But not like in an uncomfortable way, like a turtle head poking out.
No, no, like, no, no. Right. No, not like that. That would be, nobody wants that near their children or their food. So there's that. Oh, also I picked up Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle Deal.
Oh yeah, that's what it's called, right? Yeah. Mario and Kingdoms Battle Deal.
Deal, yeah.
$49.99 GameStop.
Well, I got it on this cheaper at the Amazon deal, so I pre-ordered it and did that way. But it came late for I don't remember why. Maybe I ordered it late, or I think what I did is I waited until the very last day that you could get the deal, the reduction on the new release window, and I so it just came late. But anyway, I think I paid 42 or 41 or something.
Is it really important to play it launch day?
I mean, it depends on the game. Like this, the Mario game that's coming out in October, the mainline Mario Odyssey game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do want to play that day one. Like I'll belly up and pay. Well, the truth is I could get the cart from Amazon and get it day one.
Right.
And save the money as well as, or I could just download it and pay the full $59. But in that case, yes, because I want my hands on it as fast as I can get it.
Right. I like that you put your belly up. I mean, lost some weight recently, so it's not as much belly to up. But
yeah, I used to have a lot more belly to up, but it's a lot less now.
Right.
Now it's more.
That's
just,
like a that's an old drinking term, right? I mean, you would.
Is it?
You would go. I don't know. Right. And that with it, you would go to the bar and throw your belly up.
Belly up to the bar. Yeah. Your belly up to the bar. I don't know what that means, though. Does that just mean come to the bar and drink more? Is that what that always meant?
I mean, well, I imagine throwing your belly on the bar so you could, hey, give me something to drink. And it's like, you know, and you're kind of overweight, but couldn't it mean like you're on the floor and now your belly up?
Oh, I don't know. Does your belly anchor you to the bar? Does it hold you there? Cause there's a bar there.
Okay. Now I got to know belly up. Okay. So.
Yeah. Look at the origins of that phrase, and I'm going to just make a guess here that it's something in the 20s, because that's all the drinking slang came out.
Well, Mario Rabbids is getting pretty good reviews.
It's really good, this game. It's really good. It's how do I explain it? I mean, it is what they kind of said it was. It's a turn-based tactical shooter that plays like XCOM. And if you've played XCOM 1 or 2 or even the old XCOMs, you know what that is. It's a hide-behind cover and take a shot, and you have a percentage shot of hitting a guy if he's behind cover. If he's out in the open, you'll hit him for sure. In this case, it's just with a bunch of goofy characters, including Mario, you know, Luigi, whoever. But then you're tagging along with these little rabid dudes who look like Luigi because they wear a hat and a green thing, or the Princess Peach is not there. She's actually been kidnapped. So, you know, like she does. She's in a permanent state of kidnap, that woman. And so instead I have a rabbit who's dressed like her.
Right. Does she get the Stockholm syndrome, you think? She's like kidnapped so often.
I don't know. My daughter said something really, really devious the other day that I haven't been able to stop thinking about. She says, Dad, do you think that all the Bowser kids, you know, because there's all the junior Bowsers and all that. Like, there's a girl one and like three boy ones and all that are like mini bosses you fight all the time, but they're like Bowser Jr. and Greco, or I don't know what all their names are. But anyway, they're all these Bowser offspring. And she goes, Dad, do you think those are Peach's kids? And I went, man, dude.
You just blew my mind.
I'm sorry, Mario. The princess is in another castle getting it on. Like, that's got all kinds of dark implications, but
it does.
Anyway, it's really good. It's really good. It's kind of like it's less punishing than like a full-blown game of that type, where those games are notoriously like restart, I suck, I'm gonna die, oh my gosh, I've made a bad choice. Like, that's kind of how that genre works, and this game is a much more lighter approach to that, and it's really fun. You get in some cover, you use the extra range of, you know, Luigi's weird sniperish kind of gun.
Right.
And Mario, you know, does other special stuff. There's this great thing where you can basically, within the distance, you can move during the move phase. You can move around, bump an enemy, and then move back to another place, which causes damage to the enemy and sets you up for a shot on that same enemy. So you have all these, like, strategic ways to sort of hurt them first and then hurt them again. And I don't know. I really like it. I think it's an Ubisoft joint, so, you know, that's the crossover here. Right. But it feels very much like Nintendo had a hand in this in terms of polish and quality and stuff. It is a very tight, nice, beautiful game.
Right.
And I totally dig it. And I've streamed a bunch of it, and it's I'll probably do more of that. It's really good. So Mario plus Rabbids, Kingdom Battle, good stuff. Play it.
Right. And you bellied up to that. And to bring that back around,
yeah.
To belly up, it's very loose. Mm. I don't see any, like, de facto reason to say it other than to... They say to move up to something, this is the internet,
yeah.
on freedictionary.com,
yeah.
to move up to something, often a bar, usually in reference to nudging one's way to the bar. But we usually mean it to, you know, to accept a challenge.
Oh,
so,
yeah, belly up yeah. to the bar and let's fight. Or belly, it's like, oh, I don't know if I could eat that whole burger. Well, belly up to the bar right. and find out. Like that, yeah. I'm thinking of all these scenarios now.
Right.
Anyway, it's really good. You should buy it. It's fun. RE7, I've been playing through that again. I only got so far in it last April. That's the last time I played it. And it's because I don't like scary games. They scare the hell out of me. So John Jagger and I have had this longstanding date of when are we going to get back together, and he sort of hangs with me while I play so that I don't, you know, die. So I don't feel like I'm going to die because I hate
scary games. So he holds your hand.
Yeah, basically virtually holds my hand. And so we did a bunch more of those. If you guys want to see those, you can go to youtube.com/ Scott Johnson, and you can see me do that.
Well, which I'm curious. I'm curious how you're going to handle it today.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm seeing it later. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You saw it yesterday, yeah?
I saw it last night. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to tell me the verdict? What'd you think?
Sure. I want to tell you the verdict. I thought it was really good. And oh, my goodness. Some of the visual things they do in that movie mm-hmm. are so effective.
Really?
But I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I don't know what time you're going, but I went at a 5:20. And apparently that is the douching hour.
Oh.
Because everybody was had their cell phones out. So it was late, at least two people in front of me. Mm. And I was pretty close to the front.
Yeah.
We're all hitting Facebook.
Oh,
and
Lord.
One lady kept the phone on her belly up and the whole time because she had a belly to put it on.
Yeah.
And she had ducked down to her belly, and then occasionally she would lift it up and start looking at it. And oh my God, I thought I was going to have to just murder.
I hate that stuff so bad. Oh my gosh. I thought you were going to say there were a bunch of clowns in there that were dressed up.
Oh, there were some clowns. Mm. All right.
Yeah. Just
not the kind you might think.
beware the douching hour. Yeah.
Right. Hey, you know what I'm telling? This service, public service announcement. If you're going to see a movie and it's a comedy and it's brightly lit, you know, I'm not going to really think too much about you doing your phone because I'm probably not going to see it because the room is bright.
Yeah.
When you're watching a horror film and everything is super dark the whole time and you pull your phone up and I'm like, okay, all I can see is your phone now.
Yeah.
I can't see squat. I can't see Pennywise. Thank you very much. I only spent $40 here for a movie. And so did you.
Yeah.
And you decided just to look at Facebook. Get a life.
I think this is why box office receipts are down. I think people are avoiding theaters because of the stuff you're describing. Because going there anymore is just kind of this experience. People are buttholes, you know.
We're so self-absorbed. And there was another guy, too. And I kind of was pissed and kind of like, oh, that's very nice. He was he had his girlfriend with him. And so he was trying to be all chivalrous. And so he turned his flashlight on his phone so she could walk up through the thing so she could see.
Yeah.
Great for her. Shitty for the rest of us.
Yeah. Big bright LED in everybody's face.
Yeah. And I'm like, I just wanted to flip my phone, my flashlight on, throw it right in his face and go, would you stop it?
Oh, that's
would some, you just yeah. stop?
That is some horse shit. I wouldn't have been happy with that. So I that's kind of how I am now. Like, I'll see some big marquee, big release movies in theaters, but I really rather not, you know. I'd rather just watch them at home where I can control all that stuff. I can be the one with the phone and not annoy everybody. Like, it's just, I think that's where we're headed, dude. I really do. I think theaters as a thing, unfortunately, because it reflects badly on societal changes, I think we're moving away.
And the thing that I was most craving for this was a little bit of camaraderie, for my nostalgia friends who saw It, the TV movie series, way back in the day.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd get in there and I'd have this whole, we'd all gasp at the same time and we'd all laugh at the same time and have a really good time, but nobody was into it.
Yeah.
No, except for me and Andrew, my oldest. We sat there and we were laughing at all the right times, all the little jokes and everything. It seemed like everything was good, but nobody else was laughing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's what makes me glad about what you're saying. I've read the book twice.
Yeah.
Big
book.
Yeah. I don't love the TV miniseries. It's okay. But I don't love it. But I love the book. And the book is more about coming of age, sort of Stand By Me, Super 8, Stranger Things kind of, you know, friendships and that age and not knowing what the future holds for you and all that. The book is as much about that as it is about the scary clown in the sewer. Yes. And so what I keep hearing from reviewers and what I'm gathering from you, given that there is some humor in the movie, is they seem to have straddled that really well. And that has me very excited.
It's good. It just sucked at the theater. The theater people made my experience.
Yeah,
suck.
F the theater. That's
movie
what,
good.
Today's title of the show, F the theater. All right. So you've played something with some kingdoms in it, but it wasn't Kingdom Battle. What was it? What'd you do?
Yeah, it wasn't that Stephen King Kingdoms thing that he did. No. I actually had Solomon had gifted me this. I'd added it to my wish list on Steam, and Solomon sent me a copy of Kingdoms and Castles.
Solomon Grundy, born on Monday. Who is it? Who's this guy?
Yes, it said Solomon Grundy sent you game. and so Kingdoms and Castles is self-described as a fun and breezy medieval city builder. That's about right, because the graphics are kind of, you know, kind of they're kind of Minecrafty, but they're not as blocky, but it's kind of almost like somebody took a board game like the little Meeples and turned them into a computer game.
Mm. That sounds okay. I mean, is it like do you have to defend and fight and all that stuff? And where is this, on Steam or something?
It is on Steam. Hold on, just 1 second.
Okay. Oh, he's got kids talking to him. Hey, I'm looking at this. I have this game.
Sorry about that.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
No. I have this game. I have this game.
Oh, you have this game?
Yes. The developer sent me a code for this, and I've been playing it. It's kind of, you know what this reminded me of? Do you remember, like, I get a craving for these. The Impressions games like Caesar 3 not Philo. What am I trying to say? What's the name word? Pharaoh. Remember those games?
Oh yeah, love those games.
Yeah, that's what this is. This is that. And the more I play it, the more I realize that this is kind of a spiritual successor to that. So it's all blocky and sort of like Minecraft. Not Minecrafty. It's not really fair to say that, but it's like a.
It's not. I regret it as soon as I said it, and I was like, it's not really Minecrafty.
No, I mean the look of it is like 8-bit but 3D. And you run your town and you be smart about it and you try to survive through the different winters and stuff. And yes, there is a defense thing, but it's more about, it's not really tower defense so much as it is just like those old games used to have disasters. It's like that.
Right. Because you often have Vikings arrive and they'll try to destroy your town. Basically, you're trying to collect as many resources you can, build up as much as you can, as quick as you can before something bad happens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I really like it a lot, actually. Super intense, super impressed with it. I'm glad to hear you got this because I really like it. There's no multiplayer in this, is there? Yeah, there's only single player.
No multiplayer. But I've been enjoying it, and it's a really slow game though. I mean, you can control the speed somewhat. You can go to hyper speed, but even then, your resource collecting is very slow, and you can play for 2 hours and have like 5 farms, and a castle.
Yeah.
And some guys chopping some wood.
And it's only $10, by the way. $10 game.
Yeah.
It's just
absolutely
cheap, nothing too crazy. They're updating it all the time. As some of the reviews say, did you like Zeus Master of Olympus? That's another Impressions game.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. This is clearly a spiritual successor to those, which for my money, there are not enough of those out there. Like, I am always on the hunt for a good equivalent. My favorite of those games, it's not everyone else's favorite, but I really liked Rise of the Middle Kingdom, which was this Asian thing. And
Rise of the Middle Finger.
It was their last one they did, and I loved it. Loved it. Came out in like 2002 or something. And I've been on the hunt for that ever since. I still fire that one up and play it occasionally. It's not held up well in terms of, you know, monitored resolutions and things like that. But I would very, very much like to see this kind of game make a return to popularity. Nice. And this is reviewing really well. People like it.
I like it. I've been playing it probably more than I should.
That sounds about right.
You know, I always get caught up in like the Civ games too, and I'll play them for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, "Uh-oh, I just spent 12 hours playing that game."
Yeah. I had to turn off the music cuz it's super, I find the music grating. It's not good.
Right. It's not that great.
Yeah. Other than that, it's and it was one that, by the way, it's unique in the sense that it was the first FIG
It was the first FIG funded game.
Fund. Yeah, the FIG funded thing, the video game only Kickstarter offshoot thing that a bunch of developers made. This was the first of those to be successful in that regard. Again, it's only $10 and the Steam reviews are hot and you should get it. $10, dude. Come on. You can do a lot worse.
$10. Yeah. And there's so much fun to be had.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It's nice and idle.
Building
too.
My little road and making me some wells so that whenever the fire starts, they can go put them out. And but I'll tell you what's useless though. I don't know if you've had your advisors in the castle. Oh, those guys are pointless.
No, they have no. They suck. They need to be fired. Yeah. Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's like your people would like more food. Well, yeah, I know. I can see the statistics down there.
I'm a big fan of less government in this game. I'm the only government they need. They don't need those guys. Those guys suck. But I mean, every one of these games has some kind of advisor, so it's not that weird that they put them in, I guess.
No, they just keep saying the same things over and over again. Hopefully, they'll either ramp that up. But yeah, you're right. It was FIG funded at $108,000. Their $15,000 goal.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and they've also racked up $230,000 since the post campaign.
Oh, really? That's pretty nice. That's pretty good. Yeah, I'm happy to see it. So check it out, Kingdoms and Castles. And thanks, Solomon Grundy, for sending you a copy of that.
Solomon Grundy, good. Also played a demo. Yeah. Demo Man is back. I played a Magikat. Have you seen this Magikat thing?
No. Oh, wait. I have too. I've seen it.
I've had to say, yes, a side-scroller, kind of platformer kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of 16-bit, but, you know, it's a little more modern. And I haven't decided if I like it yet or not. I've only played like maybe 15, 20 minutes of it, but you have power-ups along the way where you can you grab a potion and be able to jump and then skirt across the screen pretty far. I don't understand why he's a cat, though. I mean, he's cute.
It's very cute. Pretty much, everything about the art style is like, hey, cute cat stuff, everybody. Check it out.
Cats. He pretty much could have been anything, though, because there's not like 9 lives or, you know, anything cat-like. He doesn't really jump like a cat, but he does have he is cute. He's got his little wizard hat on. Yeah. I mean, how can you resist a cat with a wizard hat?
Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah. No, I mean, look, you could do a lot worse than that.
But I like to, but yeah, it's not too complicated far as getting, you know, because it's pretty easy not to get killed. And the game lets you pace yourself. You can pace yourself as long as you want, and there doesn't seem to be any, you know, impending time that's gonna end on you or anything like that. And so you just kind of take your little kitty time. Just
your little kitty time. I like that.
Your little kitty time, and you lick your butt for about 15 minutes, and
and
you go get some food, and and you collect coins. I don't know why you collect coins, but I don't know why, but I spent a good, you know, 30 minutes on it. So
I'm gonna have to check this one out because looks like an overworld. 63 levels, jeez.
Yes.
Boss battles. This could be.
It's got something about it that works, and I haven't been to put my finger on it yet, but it keeps you playing.
Oh, it looks like there's a check. They just added checkpoints and a.
Oh yeah, and by the way, the checkpoint. Pro tip: if you have to actually activate the checkpoint.
Oh,
so
all right.
just walking by it and going touch. Doesn't do it. Oh, I found that out the hard way.
You found that out the hard way. Yeah, I don't like finding that out the hard way. That's happened to me before. I completely understand. All right. Well, it looks like a nice throwback and worth your time, that game. Hey, you know, SteamWorld Dig, you have that mentioned here. I was going to mention that 2's coming out, you know. SteamWorld 2, yes. Dig 2's coming, and I couldn't be more excited because I love that first game. But are you just playing the new one or the old one or what?
Settle down, Scott. Don't get too excited. So, yes, I did see SteamWorld 2 was coming out. That's what got me excited. I'm like, oh, I never got to play the first one. I think Scott says something about the first one, how much he loved it. And not by coincidence, Origin, that EA thing that they do, they give away free games. And this past week's free game was SteamWorld Dig. And I said, well, free can't be that because it's $10 on Steam. I'm like, I can download the stupid Origin client one more time, I suppose.
Sure.
So I'm going to play that SteamWorld Dig this week. So tune in next week for me to bitch about SteamWorld Dig and the Origin client.
Cool. I really like SteamWorld Dig 1, and so I'm really looking forward to 2. Those guys make cool games. One of my favorite things last year, or that I even still have on a tablet, is a SteamWorld. What's it called?
Heist?
Heist. Heist is so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Heist is good. Heist is it's like 2D XCOM. Oh, it's so good.
My gosh. Look good.
The SteamWorld guys,
they are killing it. For the iOS as well?
I don't know if this is coming. I probably will because they tended to put it on everything. But it looks like Switch, PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox, and probably iOS and Android.
Oh, all right. Now I might be just guessing stuff, but yeah, I don't think
so. Yeah, I might be just guessing
it looks
stuff.
Good. The Heist, yeah. I have not seen the Heist, but it has got
Heist
like these
is so good. You got to play Heist.
Beyond kind of stuff going on.
You got to play Heist. Heist is fan-freaking-tastic. Oh, I love. Ooh.
Mm. I'm putting Heist in my pants now.
Looks like SteamWorld Dig arrives 21st of September, and I'm totally jazzed. I'll probably get the,
Will they have like a pack? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, oh, we're going to have the SteamWorld big giant sale, I hope. I'll tell you whose big bundle is taking a big old bundle crap right now, and that's the Humble Bundle. Have you seen the end of summer bundle?
No, is it poo?
Oh, my goodness. It's like anime porn something. I don't know what it is. It's a Honey Sakura bundle or something like that, and it's a bunch of Asian ladies with their shiny boobs. And,
oh yeah, look at that. That looks like something some people are into. Not me.
Oh, somebody's buying the crap out of this right now, but it ain't me.
Sakura Spirit, Sakura Angel, Sakura Agent, Sakura Fantasy, Sakura Beach, Sakura Beach 2, Honeycam Studio. What the frick is Honeycam? I don't want to know, do I?
You want to know. I'm almost tempted to pay a dollar to unlock this. I'm almost tempted just to throw a dollar at this.
It says this. Notes from the developer. The sexual themes in this game are mostly for fun and humor and don't make for particularly great fapping material. That's from the developer. In Honeycam Studio, players take control of a sleazy cam girl operation, rake in stacks of filthy internet money, and attract as many disgusting fans as you can. Wow.
You know, I kind of want to play this just so I can say I played this crap.
Yeah, you can review it or whatever.
That's
a boring bundle. Don't like it.
Not a fan. Now their summer sale is not too bad. A few of the games that I have on my Steam wish list are on sale over there. Such as, let's see, well I saw it earlier. Who is it? I can't find it. Grim Fandango is really good for $2.99.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Nidhogg.
Oh, Nidhogg's one or two.
$4.99. That's
totally worth it. Although Nidhogg 2 is really amazing, and probably you should just get Nidhogg 2, in my opinion.
Just do it.
Nidhogg 2 is awesome. Just fork over the 15 and get it.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Nidhogg, but the whole series is
great. I got to get this porn humor first.
No, always. Always get the porn humor first.
Yeah.
Porn humor first, everything else follows. And here's the other thing I would say. If you're looking for... Oh, that deal's over. Never mind. The sale's over. I was going to make a recommendation for a sale.
Oh.
Yeah, never mind. I can't. It's dumb now.
Forget it.
Forget the whole thing. Forget I said anything. Forget I'm even here. And play this. All right, real quick. We're going to talk about Madden 2018. Now, look, I know a lot of people are like, what? I don't want to talk about a Madden game. That's boring. The new modes are kind of shaking things up. They've added this single-player story mode called Long Shot, which is what I call my morning pee every day when I get up.
I call it short shot.
Yeah, short shot.
Or double shot. Sometimes I get that. It's according.
One day it'll be me sitting there, shot.
Squat shot.
Squat shot. Anyway, you get they put you in the role of Devin Wade, a quarterback from Texas with a checkered past, and you and your friend Colt.
Yes.
You make your way to the NBA, and this is this
no,
game.
No, NFL.
NFL, I say NBA. That would be awesome. That would be a really cool football game if the end game was to play basketball. Anyway, people like it, and it's not even that long. It's under 4 hours, the single player sort of campaign mode, but this is also happening in their NBA game. It's happening in their FIFA game. They seem to be embracing this idea that one of the draws to their stuff should be a more compelling story-based kind of thing, which is interesting for a sports game.
Yeah. Because we kind of, as gamers, a lot of us kind of, we either fall in two categories. I don't want to just, well, many categories, but there's definitely two categories. You know, you got your regular gamer, and then you got your sports gamer. Yeah. And sports gamers usually only get the sports games.
Right.
Yeah, you're not going to see them playing Mario. But so and if you play Mario, you may not really get into the football games. But I've always enjoyed football games. Bring it up.
That
wasn't, bring up the music.
No,
play them all.
That wasn't supposed to happen. But no, that makes sense. Also, I wonder, like, it says here all your choices make bold changes in the game. Okay?
Right.
I want to know if that includes, okay, so you and Colt, right, your buddies.
Right.
You're working your way up, trying to both get into the NFL. It sounds like, based on your choices and your performance in games, that will determine if Devin, Colt, or both of you, are getting drafted into the NFL. So I want to know, is there a story spin on this thing where I make it and play for the Panthers or whatever,
right?
And Colt doesn't get picked and gets disgruntled, has a drinking problem, and then shows up at one of my professional games like 6 months later with a gun or something like that.
Nice. And then they kind of like flash over to like a TMZ article.
Yeah.
Right.
Saying Colt Billingsworth found under a blanket with a homeless hooker lady.
I'd play that game.
Right. These are all bad ideas. But anyway, it's working well for them, and therefore, I guess, working well for players. So everybody's always wondered why Nintendo's so quiet about their VR stance or what they want to do or if they have any plans for virtual reality and the fact that
it's so good, they're keeping quiet. That's how good it is.
Is that the deal? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I'm with Nintendo on the wait and see, honestly, because I, as much as I have a Vive, you know, it's sitting over here not doing much because once you've sort of experienced a bunch of stuff, you're just sort of like, all right, well, I need all this to be smaller. I need it to be less cumbersome. I need it to be less glitchy on where the lighthouses sit and that sort of stuff. Like, we are in early days of that stuff, and it's neat what they're doing, but it's not, there's no, none of this feels like clean yet, you know? So
according to Reggie.
Well, according to Reggie Fils-Aimé, fun, yeah. He says, so back in 2015, Nintendo executive Reggie Fils-Aimé said virtual reality needs to become more compelling if it wants to catch on. What he thinks of VR right now, a couple years later, much the same it seems. Spoke in a recent Variety Entertainment and Technology Summit, he said the problem with VR is that there aren't a lot of experiences that are truly fun. And I'm going to agree with him. Like, there are experiences I will have that are fun, but I come out of the other end of them going, well, that was fun, but not fun enough.
Right.
Like, it was hindered by my sweaty face, or it was hindered by it got glitchy in the middle and I got nauseated, or, you know, like, there's no seamless connection between you and fun the way Nintendo.
There's too many barriers still, right? I mean, because you've got to have a, it's kind of like, well, there's just too many barriers because you got to consider your space that you're playing in. You got to, like you said, your face is all sweaty, which you can overcome because, I mean, look how much Atari we played, even though we had blisters on our fingers, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. Or even old still Nintendo games. Enough. Like that stuff's gotten better over the years, but there was a direct connection between you and, say, Super Mario Brothers with an NES.
Right,
you could just pick it up and go, here I am playing. The fun is immediate. I'm having a good time. And I hear this same sentiment, not just from Reggie, but you hear it from the likes of Blizzard and other big respected developers and game makers whose clear focus has always been how fun is this minute to minute, not so much, you know, how much are we pushing the boundaries or how much is this technically jumping over last year's efforts or whatever. So when they're focused on the funness of things or the minute to minute mechanics of things, I think VR falls short. It just does.
Aren't we going to need a title to show up, like, you know, maybe a Mario or something to show up? And you don't want to put your big guy out there like Mario into something that's going to fail fantastically, because there's a good chance it just fail horribly.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. I mean, they learned their lesson with the Virtual Boy. Let's not forget.
Right.
That thing was a hot piece of shitty shit.
It was beautiful.
It was horrible. And that was, you know, I think that stung, and I think they're still remembering how that stung. So, yeah, you want your best foot forward. And I just think we're not there yet. We will be there. We're going to get there. This stuff's going to get lighter, more portable, more accurate, more fidelity, like all that.
The things I've seen that VR is most successful at is when you have a arcade-type environment where they already have the equipment set up, and you just come in, you enjoy it, and you leave.
And you know, exactly. But it's not the kind of thing where you're like, okay, 40 hours of Skyrim later. Like, it doesn't, that doesn't happen in VR, but it does happen with regular video games. So they've got to figure out a way to get there. I heard, who's it? Someone told me. I can't remember who told me, but there's a game on VR right now whose name totally escapes me. So this is useless for me to talk about, but it was this, it's some really cool space game that gets the closest to VR game symmetry, and I can't remember the name of it. Someone at home
Lunar Lander?
No, that'd be cool. I'd play that. Oh, I love lander games, dude. Like little thrusters and trying to land your stuff just right. Oh, so good. Why is it I love that so much? There was a game on the Genesis called Subterranea.
Oh yeah, Subterranea. Yeah,
I would play that now if I could get a copy of that Subterranea. Yeah.
Oh, you totally can get a copy. I'll probably have it in my library. What are you talking about?
I got to find that and get it on my,
get it on my whatchamacallit.
I have a thing, it's a RetroPie deal. I
just gotta that Benadryl is really kicking your trash.
It really is kicking my trash this morning. Here it is, Subterranea. Terrania. Oh, yeah, I got to get this. Why can't I just get this? This is such a cool game.
Is that like Castlevania, but with submarines? Submarine Captain?
Let's see. This is the Sega game. Hold on. Where is this thing? Here is Subterranea. Came out on the Genesis in 1994. I bought it. It's a multi-directional shooter published by Scavenger. Game was released in North America and Europe on the Sega Genesis. Also, an unknown alien race has attacked an underground mining colony. A lone pilot has been charged with the task of defeating the aliens while rescuing the trapped miners using experimental attack ships. Scroll down in that place, and it's just, I love underground shit. That's what it is. I just love the caves and the shooting in the caves.
You do like the caves.
I do like the caves a lot.
Plus, you get to go.
I got to get this. Find this ROM and let's get it on my RetroPie, because I bought this game, so it's legal. It's legal. All right.
I actually have a Mega Drive.
Do you really?
If I could pick up a disc, we'll see.
Okay. Cartridge. Wait, Mega Drive. So you have the European thing, or do you have the
$8.99? Jesus. Oh, it's cartridge. I said disc, didn't I?
$8.99 for that thing?
Yeah.
It's probably rare. I should have kept mine.
With the original case.
Oh my gosh, I should have kept it. I should have kept it.
Or $6 for nothing. Oh, just the cartridge.
It's a really cool game, you guys. That's a great game. Oh, I'm so nostalgic for that game. I'll bet if I played it now, I'd think it was shit though.
There's a shit balls.
Well, you know how this goes. Like, you think something's awesome, and then you play it, and you're like, oh, that wasn't good at all. That was kind of poo.
Why did I even bother?
Was poo. I do. All right. Friday the 13th, that game, you know, the one with it's got the Jason Voorhees there.
I've seen it.
It broke a record. The game.
What for coolest death scene?
No, I wish. I want this game still. I still haven't pulled the trigger though, because it had so many problems at launch. I just thought, I'm gonna wait this one out. Now I've waited so long, I don't know if I want it anymore. But anyway, the Friday the 13th game has managed to pull itself together for a very nice following, despite its problems and issues in the beginning. As it turns out, however, the swell of early support has managed to help The title break its way into the Guinness Book of World Records. The Friday the 13th, The Game, apparently earned itself the title of the most crowdfunded video game based on a movie of all time. That's an important note. Based
on
a movie.
Wow, that is. They'll just put. They'll just make anything up in the Guinness Book of World Records, won't they?
The game did over $2 million, $2,060,651 back in March of 2017. Spread between Kickstarter and Baccarat. It's really interesting. Like you, the most, what's the record setting all time is Shenmue 3, right? I think.
Right.
And then after that, it's, I think, Double Fine's game. Can't remember
the because all those like in the 5 million, right?
I think that's right. And so
Kickstarter games,
six million maybe for that one. Anyway, Kickstarter's weird, but well done Friday the 13th and good job. And I probably should just play that game. They've been supporting it well, and you know, it seems like fans who are into it are into it. It did really bury or it eclipsed that other game that was on Steam that I played quite a bit called Kill the People. Stab the guy in the eyeball. What was that called? It was the same idea. You're a serial killer guy, and I almost had it.
Probably something silly like Killer.
Dead
or
by
something,
it's
right?
Like Dead by Dawn or something like that.
Oh, Dead by Dawn.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That might be it.
That sounds right. Yeah, because you go with your friends, right?
Yeah.
But you're the
I own that game. And it's good. It's good, but it feels like, you know, it didn't have the name attached to it, which used to be a bad thing if, you know. Friday the 13th being on there used to be kind of you didn't think a game would be any good if it had an actual movie name on it.
Right, except for that dang old school Friday the 13th, which was so freaking fun, that little 8-bit game they had.
An old Nintendo game, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I love that game. It was kind of stupid sometimes. You felt like you was playing a Scooby-Doo game sometimes, but it was fun.
NES game. Let's see what that was. That was, there it is. Friday the 13th, 1989. Survival horror game published by LJN. It's a Japanese game developer at the time. Let's see. Came out on the Nintendo Entertainment System console. It's an adaptation of Friday the 13th, the franchise. Reviews have been predominantly poor, with some critics calling the game the worst game of all time.
Look. It wasn't the worst game.
I don't remember it being that bad. It was fun.
It wasn't. I mean, it was kind of like, I don't know. He would suddenly appear. And then suddenly a wild Jason would appear. I liked it.
Yeah. You weren't Jason, right? You were a...
You were just a dumb teenager doing things you weren't supposed to be doing.
Yeah. You were a camper. You were doing it in the woods.
I just remembered when you were, when we was talking about the Sega a while ago, that I got a handheld AT Games, which they make all these... these little emulator handheld game things. And I have one for the Sega Genesis. I looked and they didn't have the game we were just talking about, but is there any other Genesis games you were really, hot into that you're thinking about? I mean, I've got Phantasy Star on here.
Yeah.
I got Shadow Dancer.
Shadow Dancer's all right.
Shinobi 3. That's really good.
Yeah, that one's okay.
Sonic 3D Blast.
I think I have all those. Wait, what's the one that's, Eternal Champions, that old fighting
game. Yes, I have
game.
That one on
you
here.
You have that one?
Yeah.
How about, trying to think what else stuck out in that era.
Go Fish.
Oh, you know what I really liked was the EA made some, the Desert Strike game. I love Desert Strike.
Yeah, I didn't get those. Those aren't on here.
Oh, they're so good.
Comic Zone is, though. That was kind of a weird ride.
Oh, I have that one, too. It was a Capcom thing, wasn't it?
Oh, and Alex Kidd. Wasn't that Nicole's favorite?
Yeah, she loved that.
Alex Kidd?
Yeah, she loved that thing. Hold on, let's ask her. And Nicole, was that what you like? Oh, Nicole, my sweet Nicole. All right, apparently, yeah, she's really into it.
Right. So, oh, Butt Snap. I didn't really. They have Golden Axe 1, 2, and 3. I need to play that.
I never liked Golden Axe.
You didn't like the Golden Axe?
No. I mean, it was basically just, bad dudes or freaking Streets of Rage or whatever. It was just the same thing, except you had an axe and some magic and stuff. That's, I don't know. Side-scrolling brawler is not really my thing.
You just made me not want to play it. Wow, how did you do that?
I don't know. It's amazing, because I reminded you that it's not very good. And that's why. That's exactly why. Well, Steam's having a really good year. Over 5,000 titles released on Steam this year. That is the most ever. And the year's not even over yet, man. Steam is still growing. Analyst Daniel Ahmad of Nico Partners projects. This will be the most fruitful year for game releases on the platform. So far this year has already passed up 205, the previous largest year. So 5,000. How do you go from 5,000? Wait, 205 last year?
To right. 5,
how is that possible? How much of this so is there, garbage titles? Because this has to be a bunch of poo, yeah. Right?
That's what I'm thinking. A lot of garbage poo. Your favorite new word this week? Garbage poo.
Garbage poo. It's got to be like, weird Android game ports and strange Japanese girly ones. And like, because you see those on there all the time.
Right.
So that must be, this is almost like a non-story.
Right. So is that even really a brag? No, I mean, look at all the junk we have.
It's almost embarrassing, honestly.
It is.
Because I see a lot, not that it's that big a deal for me because I know what I'm looking for, but if you were coming to Steam for the first time and you saw the upcoming list, you'd be just like, what is this mess? This is just a bunch of crap.
And it's gotten, and they kind of ran into the issue a couple of years ago. And so they started using the suggestions, which I'm enjoying a lot better now, because for a while when I would log into Steam into the store, you'd have suggestions for, oh, so much crap. Like, I'm not interested, but it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah. And the better it gets, it depends on how much you buy. So,
yeah.
It seems like if you're, or download, even if it's just demos and stuff, it kind of starts to build those lists around what your habits are, and mine's pretty accurate now. Accurate. Like, it'll say, hey, you like roguelikes and retro games and indies, here's some of those. And I'm like, oh, I never even heard of this one. I'll try that out. And sure enough, I like it. So yeah, they're getting.
You ever worry that maybe you're pigeonholing yourself kind of into something though? Because it's like, oh, but what if I want to try something different? A little different.
That's a really good point. Yes. Yes. I do feel that way. I don't like it when a computer tries to determine my world.
Right.
But it's happening more and more on, every platform I own. My freaking Amazon Echo thinks it knows all about me now, and my phone thinks it knows some things, and Google knows everything about me. So yeah. I don't know. Another nice number that is significant, PUBG. That is to say, Player Unknown's Battlegrounds hit more than 1 million concurrent users today or yesterday.
Oh, wow.
That beat the current first place holder, which has been Dota 2 for the longest time, just sits there at around that number. And this game has now superseded that. The only other game is Counter-Strike Global Offensive, which is it Global Offensive or Global Operations? Global Offensive.
Offensive, I think. Yeah.
That is the only one that's even close. That one still sits at third place.
Right.
And it's, notable that those two are Valve-owned properties, whereas this is a damn indie.
Right.
So it's really impressive that game is doing as well as it is, and they're making tons of money and making all kinds of cool improvements to that game. They seem like they're really making it happen. I don't know if you've tried PUBG yet, but man.
I haven't, and it is definitely on my list, but I can tell it'll be the only thing I'll do for a while.
It's really good. My recommendation is nab it either right before or sometime before it goes full release, because it's still technically in early access, because you're going to save money. That thing's going to go up.
Yeah, like you can bet like $10 at least.
Yeah.
So we were talking about things knowing us as well. Do you take the monthly survey when it pops up on Steam, like for your hardware?
No, I ignore you those don't? Things. No, I hate that stuff.
Oh, I like taking it because then there's a quick, easy link to click on what video cards everybody's using. And I am the path of least resistance guy. And so I go, what does everybody else have video card wise? Because that's going to be the most supported card on Steam. And I don't have to deal with much junk.
Yeah.
And it looks like the 1060 right now, the NVIDIA 1060 is a little bit ahead of everybody.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I know I have a 1080 now, and it's kind of not top of the line, but it's close.
No, it's up there, my friend.
It's up there, and I can run real pretty on games.
Real pretty. That blue hole looks good.
Yeah, blue hole looks real good on my 4K. I like to run it at 4K. PUBG is great. People should be playing it. I have not played it much in the last couple of weeks, but I intend to get back into there more and play more because that's what everyone's doing. I mean, that's the number one game on Steam half the time. Like, they're not Steam, Twitch.
Steam. That too.
Yeah. Twitch as well. And it just does really well. You know, the one thing we haven't talked about, at all, which is weird. People are probably listening to this going, dude, you guys didn't even mention Destiny. Well, if you go to any other gaming blog or anything else, it's wall-to-wall Destiny. 2.
Yep.
Just blep, 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 blep. Now, I am waiting for the PC version because that's where I want to play it. I don't want to play it on my console. Just don't. It's fine for everybody who likes it there. It's just not my thing. And now that there's a PC version coming, we have to wait a month, but we're getting it there. I played the beta last weekend. It was great. I enjoyed what I played. You know, I want to get into this.
I'm with you. I'm going to wait for the PC. I don't have anything against the PS4. I just feel like when I really do sit down and play the crap out of it, well, I want to do it through the...
Well, especially a shooter, right? I want my keyboard and mouse. I want to, you know, it feels really good. Plus, you're going to get, you know, no capped frame rate. I can go 60 and higher, and I can run it in 4K, and I can...
And it's tapped into my Battle.net launcher and everything. It's going to be... I'm interested.
Yeah, me too. So... That's all coming, and there's been a ton of news about the game, about how they hit 1.2 million concurrent players at once, which is a pretty high mark. They had a little bit of launch trouble, but nothing as bad as before. Reviews generally have been really solid. There's not much else to say. Oh, they released I don't know if it was a leak, but they've confirmed it anyway. But whatever. There was leaked information about its first DLC called Something of Osiris. Battle of Osiris? Anyway,
Booty of Osiris?
Well, maybe. But it's first DLC pack. There's no dates or anything known. But yeah, the game seems to have had a pretty successful launch, and it just makes me... I hear friends online going, oh, it's so good, we're back with our team. I'm like, oh, shit. I got to wait a month. But I'm going to hold out. As much as it bugs me and I feel jealous of those who are already playing it, I'm going to play it on the platform I love, so...
We're going to get there.
That's what I'm going to do. All right, we got some emails. One, in fact, to read from Paul in the UK, who wrote into boopshow@gmail.com, and he says this. Hello. I've recently gotten back into listening to the Boop Show. Love that Extra Life theme that's used for it. It's not really. It's from our old...
The Final Score.
Final Score, yeah. Just to clarify.
Close enough.
Those were the days, he says. Is it possible to buy a copy of the music you use within the Boop Show? Those tunes sound great. I'd love to hear longer versions than just a few seconds that you tease us with in the show. Thanks, Paul in the UK. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
The Schnauzer Radio Orchestra made an album called Music for a 1950s Video Game. He gave me full permission to play these here. And that's available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon. You can buy it or stream it or whatever. It's out there. Music for a 1950s Video Game is the title. And you too can own or play the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra Classic Music for a 1950s Video Game. And all of the music in there outside of the Final Score theme are included in there. The reason that's not is he custom wrote that for us back in the day. So it's not on any album. But... the rest of the stuff, like what you're hearing right now in the back, is right here. This is all him. So do check it out. Available now.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. If you'd like to send your own emails into us, ask us questions, thoughts, comments, more, send it to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter @boopshow. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. You can go there anytime and get the show any way you want to get it. You can support the show by using the Patreon we use for Frog Pants. If you'd like, go to patreon.com/frogpants or buy something on the store, frogpants.com/store. And we always, always, always have a Reddit page that Brian is always frequenting to see what's going on in there. That's over at Final Score Show. No, wait, sorry, boopshow.reddit.com.
And thanks to Captain Kipper, because at least a couple of these articles came in as suggested by him.
That guy's like, if I was ever to like... hire an internal like news gatherer person, maybe that guy, because he
absolutely
he does this for DTNS, he does this stuff for Current Geek, he does this stuff for you and me, he does this for everybody who needs it. He's like a genius. Find Brian on the internet @TheBrianDunaway. Find me @ScottJohnson and the show @BoopShow. This is all on Twitter, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Oh, one other thing. Oh no, we'll be back next week, and I will be putting up the daily video games daily compilations on Wednesdays. Missed last Wednesday because of reasons, but we'll have that up soon. Actually, this coming Wednesday, you'll have a whole big chunk of it. So watch for that. We'll be back next week with a brand new show. Brian Dunaway, have a fantastic week, sir.
Scott Johnson, do the same.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Oh, yeah.